Tire Grabbers, a novel by John Bennett. In the dream world of the realm of great mysteries, mankind evolves through three major transformations: the Age of Innocence, the Era of the Great Schism, and the Reign of Moloch. In the Age of Innocence, there is cosmic harmony. In the Era of the Great Schism, mankind splits into two factions: hunters, who are locked down in a mindset called the Hard World, and dreamers, who develop magical powers that give them sanctuary in a parallel world called the Secret Place. This, then, is the story of the coming of Moloch, a horrific force that mutates out of the strife-torn Era of the Great Schism, feeding on spiritual marrow and threatening mankind's extinction. And it is the story of the children who challenge Moloch with their innocence and with an army of mind creatures that they eject into the outer world and call, for reasons made evident as the plot thickens, Tire Grabbers. Prologue. Sean O'Reilly came home after a long day driving bread truck. He collapsed into his reading chair, and Alice, his wife, took off his shoes and put slippers on his feet. Then she pulled the chain on the floor lamp next to the chair and left him sitting in a dim circle of light. She went into the kitchen to fetch him a beer. Alice set the beer on the end table next to the reading chair and went back into the kitchen for the evening newspaper, which she had brought in from the front porch earlier. But the paper was gone from the chair on which she had placed it. She went into Patrick's room and found him sitting in a corner, tearing the paper into strips. The front page, a single headline in thick block letters, had been rendered gibberish. Yappa, Om, Earl, Ha, Rika, War, it read. Now what? Said Sean when he saw the look on his wife's face. Oh, damn it to hell, Alice, he said. And coming up out of his chair, he pushed past her and on into his son's room. He stopped abruptly when he saw what the boy was doing, and then he yanked him off the floor and he shook him at arm's length. What's this? He shouted, and he threw Patrick down on the bed, back first. You stay there, he roared, and then he returned to the living room. He never speaks, said Alice. He's 2 years old, Sean, and he never speaks. Later, when the house was dark, Patrick lay in his bed looking out the ice-frosted window into a clear winter sky. Even while his father was shaking him, the hard world that Patrick had been born into went flat as cardboard, and he slipped into an inner world of magic. A month later, Sean went off to war. Secret forces had intervened and exiled him into the deepest, most turbulent regions of the universe. Of that Patrick had no doubt. Part 1. The Awakening. Chapter 1. The Lair of Blue's Magic. After Sean went off to war, Alice moved back into her childhood home in the Lair of Bruised Magic on the sand lots of Long Island with Elizabeth, her suffering Irish mother, and Rudolph, her hard-drinking German father. Rudolph had built the house in which his children grew up, a stuccoed rectangular affair with a gravity-flush toilet and a root cellar. The Vernix had fruit trees, a vegetable garden, a yard full of chickens, and a huge tom turkey that terrorized small children. They had a hutch full of rabbits and a cellar full of canned goods and cured meat. They had a horse and a wagon. The women cooked, sewed, and tended the garden, and the men fixed things and bartered. No one worked for wages. And after he'd built his house, Rudolph spent most of his time drinking whiskey on the screened-in front porch. Sundays were special at the Vernix, and after church, uncles and aunts and cousins traveled across the sand lots to old Rudolph's homestead. It was a gathering of the tribe, and sometimes when things were at fever pitch with children screeching through the pack,